Yeah, can I say something before I start about the election? I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you what to vote for. Vote the Bible. If there are two areas that I would say are the predominant areas that that the politicians are running from, some of them, and some of them aren't. Two major things that you're going to be held accountable when you get to heaven. We don't live in a country like other countries. Our government, we get the government that we deserve. Okay, so because our government is for the people, by the people. Do you remember this part? Okay, so the two areas that I would say you need to pay attention, there are a lot of areas you need to pay attention to, but two predominantly that are biblical values. And number one is you need to pay attention to who are the politicians that really are supporting Israel? Not just lip service, but really, 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 really not saying stuff and then following through with it. We have so many politicians that promised all this stuff, you know what, and they never come through. But then there's other politicians that are coming through with their commitment to Israel. Pay attention. Look it up. Figure it out. But that is not, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you what to vote for. The Bible says God will bless us as we bless Israel. And so it's really, really important that we not just, you know, I told you this last, oh, I like his haircut, or, you know, and, oh, I don't like how, you know, whatever. We come up with all kinds of craziness. And I'm going to say this. I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. Really important. Well, my parents vote. I'm of this party. Listen, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. Amen. And the party that your parents voted for many times is not the party that it looked like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And you better pay attention to that because it's really important. The other thing that's even, to me, more important, really, really, it's one and two, but probably even more important, is pay attention, because there are politicians who support that little child in a woman's womb. Now, listen to me. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. See, sometimes we don't know because we've just been taught wrong. That is a woman's, don't amen to any of this. That is a woman's right because that's her body. I listen to this whole thing. Don't judge it till I'm done, okay? I agree until she gets pregnant. When she gets pregnant, now there's another little one. There's another person inside her. Science, follow the science. Science will prove this out. If you do nothing to extract that child from her, that child will be a child, just like you were a child. You were inside your mother's womb at some point in time, and your parents allowed you to be birthed. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So, And let me tell you about some politicians at this point. They are now proud, somebody say proud, to support that woman's right even up to the same day that she is scheduled to give birth. And if I went over the medical procedure on how that baby gets aborted, you would just be so grossed out. But listen to me. Even the medical procedures of the child at 4 months is extremely barbaric. And that child can feel pain, and that child will resist the tools that are being used to kill that child. That child knows this is not right, this is not good, and that's why. One of the one of the things that the pro-lifers want to do is they want to do is just make the ladies see an ultrasound. Just make them see an ultrasound. Just give them the facts so they could really know what's going on. Because here's what they know. Once those ladies see the ultrasound, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. And this isn't a narrative that is told to you very much, but I'm going to tell it to you. I saw a questionnaire on why most women have an abortion. And you think it's, because they're 17 or they're 14. And that's some, but very little. The lion's share of the women having an abortion has to do with, you know what, it's inconvenient and they're not ready to start a family. Here's what the Bible says. In the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. God help our country as we have become so self-absorbed. And here's the cool thing on this area. Politicians are either for it or they're against it. It's so clear, the separation. So it makes it really easy to figure it out. Amen. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I am telling you, you know what? You're gonna stand. We are all gonna be held accountable to, you know what we did or what we didn't do, who we voted for, who we didn't vote for, and we've got it's such a great opportunity that we have. You know what? Thank God for our country. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our country. Thank God that we still have a country where we can. I'm gonna say one more thing, and be careful because the freedoms that are wanting to be taken over right now are crazy. You know what? Predominantly the freedom, you know what, for, I'm not into guns. My father, growing up, my father, before I was even born, he was playing with his dad's gun. It went off. His friend shot him in the arm. And growing up, there was a chunk of my dad's arm that was just, the scar was incredible. He almost lost his arm. So I grew up with that. And we didn't have guns in the house. I'm not into guns. But I talked to a Christian from Venezuela, and here's what she said. The first thing they did is they took away all our guns. First thing they did. So that reality is just something really important. And our founders put that in because they knew how important it was. They knew how important it was. You know what? Not perfect men, but in a lot of ways, incredibly wise. The second thing, watch it, is there is this political correct way to talk now. And particularly in concerning sexual behavior. And you better not stand up for a Christian belief of sexual behavior. Because if you do, you will be, you know what, you are evil. God help us when we start backing away and allowing bullies to, because here's why. Because they're teaching it to our kids now, guys. They're teaching it to our kids now. And it's a huge problem. Well, that's not what I'm going to talk about, but I need to share with you because you need to know. You know what I mean? If you have any questions on this, you can talk to me after, and I'd love to have a conversation. You know what I mean, with you. But I don't want any. I don't want people to. You know what I mean? I think we got to get away from the us and them mentality. You know what I mean? Because that is incredibly evil. You know what? And you know what? There's. You know what? The main thing that we need to be teaching is Jesus Christ at this church. Yeah. That's the main thing. Amen. So, are you ready to learn something?
Yeah.
Did you already do this in my Bible?
No.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you want to do it again, Tony, huh? Praise God. I text a bunch of people yesterday. And I just, you know what, you said, Pastor, you say that every day, or every week. I do, but I want you to pay particularly attention to what I'm preaching on today because this can so help you in the situations that you're going through. My sermon title is Praise and Worship, One of the Most Powerful Weapons. Praise and Worship, One of the Most Powerful Weapons. You need to understand, praise and worship can change the atmosphere. You ever gone into some place? Tim, remember when we went on vacation? We went on vacation. We don't go on a lot of vacations, but we went on the craziest vacation. Where did we go? Yosemite. We went to on the craziest. I mean, Pastor Joel went with us. If something could go wrong, it went wrong, and we had a great time anyway, did we not? Actually, there were a lot of things that went right, but it took us like, 12 hours to get up there. How does it take 12 hours? I don't know. I tell you, it was nuts. It was crazy, and we got lost, and it was dark, and we had no cell phone connection, and somehow, I'm telling you what, God was gracious to us. Somehow, we were in three different cars, and somehow, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we all found the campground. I really think it was a miracle, but anyway, it was such a time. But when we were coming back from vacation, we went to this restaurant, and in this restaurant, we walk in this restaurant, and Tamara's like, yuck. It was this, remember this? It was such a, the food was good, but the atmosphere was awful. And it wasn't like they had, country music playing or something. That's a dig. I hate country. Well, I used to hate country music. That's just a dig from my wife. Okay, it wasn't like that. There wasn't anything particularly, but there was just a yuck. How many know what I'm talking about? How many wake up some mornings and you just feel bleh? You're just like, man, I don't know why I feel so bad. You know what I mean? How many ever done that? Come on. And what I texted you yesterday, I said, you need to be careful on that, because that feeling of how you feel can turn, that day thing can turn into a week, that week can turn into a month, that month can turn into a year. And you can start to think wrong and think that, you know what, your life is over, and you know, all this stuff. And you need to be careful. So I want to talk about the power of praise to change your atmosphere. And understand your calling. Your calling is not to accept defeat. Your calling isn't to accept situations and circumstances. Your calling is to move situations and circumstances. Your calling is to make a difference. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I think we need to get a revelation. We don't understand. We have one of the strongest weapons that anybody could ever have, and it's called praise, and it's called worship. What is praise and worship? Praise you can praise anybody or anything, but praise, talking about specifically to God, praise is telling somebody about the attributes of God. So I could go to Tony and say, Tony, you know what? God is so awesome. You know what? We had this situation, and these government people lost these papers, and we tried and we tried and we tried, and then, you know what, they couldn't find them, and we even got all these people involved in trying to help us, and then this happened, and it was even worse. And then all of a sudden, man, the papers showed up. But we prayed, God, help the papers to show up. And we were planning this and that and this, but ultimately we knew these papers just got to show up. God is good. What's that? That's praise. And that very thing happened to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. How many have had something like that happen to you? And you didn't have control, but something happened and wow, it showed up. And you're like, cool. Amen. Watch this. Worship is not talking to Tony. It's talking to God. It's saying, God, you are awesome. Thank you. You are holy. You are magnificent. You are worthy of my praise. God, you are my healer. You're my soon coming king. You're my friend. You're closer than a brother. What's that? That's worship. Okay? Do you understand the difference? And both of them, you know what? I just want to give you that definition, but both of them are incredibly powerful to change what's going on in your life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. If you don't have, we're reading that King James. If you don't have that, we have it up on the screen so you can follow along with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We walk in the flesh. You're saying, hey, you're a human being. We are on this earth. You have flesh. How many have some flesh? Okay. But even though we have that flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. You know what? Somebody gets me mad, I don't need to just punch them out. Amen. That's not the call. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare. Somebody say the weapons. Okay, so we have many weapons. Today I'm going to talk about the weapon of praise and worship. The weapons of our warfare, watch this. They're not carnal, but mighty. Like the contrast. Not carnal. See, listen, you're going to try to fix all your problems by arguing with people, by fighting with people. I'm telling you that that's such a low level. And you're going to get in flesh, and they're going to get in the flesh, and you know what? You're going to punch them, and they're going to pull a knife, and you're going to pull a gun, and y'all end up in jail. Amen. Low way. Okay? Our weapons, they're not carnal, they're mighty. Amen. Watch this. For the pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, we'll talk about thoughts in a minute, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. Go back to verse 4. It's interesting because it says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Somebody say it's our warfare. But notice what it says, they're not carnal, but mighty in God. Interesting. It's our warfare, but those weapons are mighty in God. In other words, when you start using those weapons, you are starting to tap into the supernatural. Does that make sense? They're mighty in God. God says, here's my weapons. I'm going to give them to you, but they're mighty for you to take care of things. Amen. So what weapon are we talking about today? Come on, somebody listen. What weapons are we talking about today? Praise and worship. What weapons are we talking about today? Praise and worship. Praise and worship has the ability to get God into a situation and to change a situation. You are not called to accept situations. You are called to change situations. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went and saw that fig tree, and he cursed it. Did he not? What's he doing? He's speaking death to it. And we are like, listen to me, church. I believe that this weapon is not used at all, or it's underused. Praise and worship is one of the most powerful weapons that we have at our disposal. And it is predominantly either underused or not used at all. Praise and worship as a witness in the Bible has defeated mighty armies, calmed the insane, freed the saints from bars of prison, caused the raising of the dead. Praise and worship is one of the most powerful weapons that exists, and it's at our disposal 24/7. Most people don't use it because they're not in the family of God. And we understand that. That makes sense. They don't understand that weapon. They're not in the family of God. They don't use it, and that's understandable. But for Christians, it should be used every day. Some Christians think they're too smart, too educated, too young, too old, too hip, too dorky, too proper, too stoic. Some don't worship because they were not raised in the church. Others were raised in the church, but they still don't worship. Some Christian men think they're too cool to dance before the Lord. And many others claimed to be saved, are simply too caught up in themselves to notice how much Jesus loves and appreciates when we praise and worship him. There are plenty of excuses why we don't or won't worship, but none of them is worth anything. And hopefully, after today, we can move into a higher place where we start to please God and live at a higher level all at the same time. Turn to Second Chronicles chapter 20. And in Second Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to show you one of the clearest, it's all throughout the Bible, but this is one of the clearest stories of seeing the power of praise. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And let's look at the third verse. We'll skip around. Follow me. Third verse. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. Real smart. When you're in a tough situation, seek the Lord. And that's what he does. And he declares a fast and real wise thing to do. Go ahead, skip on down to verse 14. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon, somebody help me out here. Jehaziel, the son of, well, let's skip down to 15. Thank you. Let's skip down to 15. And he said, listen to all of Judea and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not, now here's what I want you to catch. Catch out what they start to do and what they start to practice and what's going on. You know what? Immediately, they're seeking God. And then watch this. They're seeking God. You know what they need? They need, the armies are intense. They're intense and they're outnumbered and they're freaked out. So they start to seek God. And watch this. God starts to pull them into praise and worship. Watch this. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Don't be intimidated by a situation in your life that looks like you're going uphill. Understand, if God is for you, who can be against you? Understand that God is on your side. Understand that God is bigger than all your enemies. Stop being intimidated. Thank you. I do that on purpose. I'm just trying to get you to help me preach this. Don't be intimidated. The battle is God's, the Bible says. Tomorrow go down against them, and they shall surely come up as by the ascent of Zip. He's saying, listen, he's not saying you don't have a battle on your hands. He's not saying they're not going to show up. He's saying they're going to show up, Jackson. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Somebody say, position yourself. Somebody say, position yourself. Come on, everybody say, position yourself. So you know what this is about? It's about positioning yourself. We've gotten out of position. We've gotten out of praise. We've gotten out of worship. We think that praise and worship is something that we do at church for 20 minutes before the preaching. Stop associating praise and worship with with church. That's jacked up, man. There's something wrong. Amen. Where am I? 17. Oh, position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you? Oh, Judea and Jerusalem. Somebody say, who is with you? Now, that's a clue because he's in your praise and worship. You need to start to testify on who God is and what he's doing in your life. God has promised over and over again. It is the most repeated phrase in the Bible. God has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. So he's saying, he's with you. O Judea and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow you will go against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before. How many did this? How many did this? How many did this? All. Somebody say all. 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 All of them did it. Not some of them, all of them. All the men, all the women. Oh, I shouldn't go around. I'm sorry. All the men, all the women, all the people, all of them. All of the ones who went to Rio Hondo, all of the ones who didn't go to Rio Hondo. All the ones who were raised in a Pentecostal church, all the ones who were raised in a Baptist church, all the ones who were raised in a Catholic church, all the ones who like Tommies with onions and all the ones who like Tommies without onions. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, where did we come up with this? Where did we come up with this? Some of us, I don't like this song. This is crazy. And you are, how many of you ever watched Crocodile Dundee? Okay, see, I know how old you are if you say Crocodile Dundee. You know, it's like, crocodile, what? Just go home, read it on Netflix, it's great, you'll love it. But there's a scene in Crocodile Dundee, and he's like this guy. He's like kind of a wild guy from down under, and he's in New York, and he's walking with his girlfriend, and some guy comes out, and he says, hey, you know what? Do you got a smoke? And he's all, oh, yeah, sure. And he tries to get him a smoke, and then he goes, and then he's got a switchblade, and he says, and your wallet. And his girlfriend's all freaked out. She's like, give him your wallet. And he's like, why? And she said, because he has a knife. And then he whips out a knife that's about this big. And the other guy's knife's like this big. And he goes, that's not a knife. This is a knife. See, what I'm saying is, you know what? And Satan don't even have that little knife. He got nothing. All he has is to try to get you. I'm preaching to somebody. All he's trying to do is get you depressed and upset and, hey, my life didn't go right and my day didn't go right and you know what? My hair's jacked up. Oh, my goodness. I'm not saying you say this, you don't say that. See, gotta be careful. Okay. But what I'm saying is, man, women could talk about hair for a long time. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, I have a gentleman can testify, right? Okay, it's okay. But we can start to leave this huge knife on the table and not understand our ability we have to change the situation, the circumstances, the atmosphere, you know what, in our lives. And that's your calling to do. And I'm telling you this, if you can't get your praise on, you know what, with this praise band, you know what, in this atmosphere, I'm telling you what, how in the world are you going to be able to do it in when you leave this atmosphere? Allow this place to be a place where you, you know what, where you feel free. I give you freedom to dance. I give you freedom. You know what? It's like, oh, you know, the prim and proper. Oh, well, we, you know, oh, well, we shouldn't do that because, you know what, the Bible says, let everything be done in decency and order. We shouldn't do that. What are you talking about? When the Bible says, let everything be done in decency and order, and you see the pastor up there dancing, then guess what? It's time for you to get your groove on. It's time for you to, yeah, but I don't dance. I know you're leaving. You are leaving. You are leaving that on the table. And you need to take your praise home with you. You need to take your praise to work with you. You, praise and worship is one of the most powerful weapons we have, and it's one of the most underused weapons that's taking place in the church today. I fully believe it. And so these guys, they start, you know what? All of them, oh, that's where I got off. All of them, somebody say all of them. All of them are on their feet, on their face. You know, how in the world we come up with thinking that we are, you know what? It is just disgusting. It is gross to God that you are so self-absorbed in your own atmosphere that you wouldn't be pulled into the atmosphere of praise and worship. And I amen, amen. You say, who am I talking to? I don't know who am I talking to. You know what? If Pastor Isaac says, lift up your hands. I lift up my hands. Amen. Amen. If Pastor Isaac says, you know what? If you can't get on your knees, get on your knees. Amen. If you can't, get on your knees in your spirit. Amen. Yeah. You know, some of you are like, I can't do that. Okay, well, you know what? But can you have that spirit? Amen. If Pastor Isaac says, you know what? Say this, say that. He's going to tell you something negative to say. You know, he's telling you because he understands the power that we have in praise and worship. Somebody say, our God is great. Amen. Somebody say, we serve an awesome God. Somebody raise your hand and say, we serve. We serve an awesome God. Pastor, you're just too Pentecostal for me. This isn't Pentecostal. This is New Testament church. Here, you know what this is? This is heaven. What are you going to do? You going to correct Jesus in heaven? You going to correct Peter and a Peter? Now, you know what? You know what? In my denomination, this is what we do. You going to do that? No. See, listen, we used to sing a song in my Baptist, growing up in Baptist church. You know what? When we all get to heaven, let me out. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will. See, I don't know them all because half the time I was underneath the pews and, you know what, pulling my sister's hair or something. But I get it for eventually. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Praise God. But I'd say, you know what? When I got saved is when I need to start praising Jesus, shouting the victory. You know what? God, listen, I got a relationship now with God. And I thank God. And that's a wonderful song. And I sing it all the time. Well, I don't sing it all the time. But I sing it sometimes. Are you learning something today? And you know what happens? What happens is they they send these praisers out. First of all, everyone is praising God. Everyone is down. They have their head down. They're worshiping God. They're praising God. This is everybody. See, some people is like, oh, yeah, but they went out and they send the praisers out before. That's right, and that's true, and that's good. But look at the text. They're all praising God even before they send the praisers out. And the praisers are sent out first. And as the praisers go out, you know what? This army, there were three armies. They were supposed to fight Israel. Instead, they start fighting each other. And the Israelites are like, what's going on here? What's up? I like this. Amen. What are they doing? They're taking the armament that God gives them off the table and they're using it. Amen. George, go in the kitchen, see if you can find a big knife for me. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I have it up here on the screens. Look what it says. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rod. Watch this. And in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord says on him, it will be with the tambourines and the harps. See, catch this. I want you to catch this. Here's what this passage is saying. That God is going to beat down the enemy with a stick. He's just going to beat him with the stick. But here's what you want to catch. But it's your tambourine that is going to initiate God picking up the stick. God is going to beat down our enemy with a rod, the Bible says. But it is your instruments of praise that are going to instigate him picking up that rod. Are you catching this? We see this throughout the Word of God. The praise, oh yeah. See? Oh, yeah, I don't even want this one. This one is a joke. See, you have a weapon. It's called praise and worship. How many know you could do some damage with this weapon? And you can do some damage with the weapon that you have, but you've got to get that weapon up off the kitchen table and start swinging it. How you swing it? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You guys know this? Raise your hand if you know this. Okay, three people. Thank you. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you a sacrifice. Thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of... Oh, you guys. What am I doing? I'm taking the weapon off the counter, and I'm using it. And what's happening? It is starting to change. You can sit there and be depressed, and then be depressed the next day, and then be more depressed the next day. And I'm telling you, I text it to you. You better watch it. We all feel this all way. We all wake up with the blahs sometimes, and that one day can turn into 2 days, and next thing you know, it's 3 weeks, and next thing you know what? It's your boss's fault. It's your wife's fault. It's your husband's fault. It's your parents' fault. Man, it's all our parents' faults. Who weren't raised up with crazy parents? It's all our parents. But here's the thing. You need to change that atmosphere and turn it into understanding. You have a weapon. Your weapons of warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. These arguments, they're arguments that Satan is trying to come against you and saying, your best days are behind you. You know what? You can never fix your marriage. You can never, you know what? Look at what the doctor said about you. You look at your finances, you're never going to have a good job. You're never going to have a good car. You're never going to... That's all he talks about. All this trash. And God has given you a weapon, but you got to pick it up. You can't allow that person to jump you. You don't throw his, you know, stupid little, give me your wallet. You know what? Wallet, nothing. You give me your wallet. Amen. I'm learning something today. Amen. It's throughout the Word of God. You know what? Your tambourine is going to cause God to pick up his stick. So the Bible teaches. What's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. And behold, it's throughout the Bible. We don't even see it. In almost every miracle that you look at in the New Testament, you're going to see the power of praise behind that miracle. Almost every single one. I'll show it to you over and over. But we're too busy thinking praise and worship is about, you know what, this 20-minute, 25-minute thing that we do on Sunday. All this is about is to stir you up. Amen. Are you learning something today? Verse 2, and behold, the leper came and worshiped. Oh, there it is. I thought, you know what? Pastor George, I thought this was about the guy being healed. Oh, it is about him being healed. The praise and worship is throughout the New Testament. As you're going to see, God uses it as a weapon. Because Jesus Christ emptied himself with all heavenly privileges. He had to pick up the weapon too, guys. This guy is coming. This guy is jacked up. This guy has leprosy. Leprosy is gross on so many levels. You know what? But one of the saddest things about leprosy is it, much like coronavirus, it separates us. It builds this wall. And if you had leprosy because it was so contagious, you know what? You had to live in this outside of the city with all the other lepers. And it was very sad. And there was no cure for it. So he goes to Jesus. He needs supernatural help. But notice what he does. Please, please catch this. He comes to Jesus and behold, you know what behold means? It means, I want you, hey guys, look at this. Things are written in the Bible that we would learn and benefit from. He's saying, check this out. I want you to learn from this. This guy isn't just coming to Jesus. He's coming to Jesus and he worships him. That's what the King James says. That's what the New King James says. The NIV says, he comes down and he kneels before him. But notice this kneeling before him isn't just him kneeling before him. How many know you can kneel and not worship? You ever had a dirty floor? You know, if I came in and you're scrubbing the floor, I'm like, oh, what beautiful praise and worship you're doing. You're on your knees. You're just cleaning the floor. How many understand what I'm saying? This guy is on his knees worshiping God. Catch this. Saying, oh, did you catch it? Did you catch it? Somebody say saying. His worship isn't just him on his knees. His worship is him saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, here's what he's saying. I'm not sure if you're willing. This is one of the passages I use all the time. I love this passage because Jesus says, I am willing. Please understand this. God is willing to heal you. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why by his stripes you were healed. That's why Jesus took those stripes that you could walk in that healing power. So God is willing. There's some Christians who still, they're not sure if God is willing. You know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's willing. But I don't really have time to preach all that right now. What I want you to notice, he says, he's not sure about the willing part, but you know what he is sure about? His power part. He's saying he's down on his knees, and he's not just worshiping because he's down on his knees. He's worshiping because he's saying, God, you are powerful. When you start to proclaim, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When you start saying that, you start to bring in, your tambourine is bringing in the defeat of the enemy. God says, what's he say? He says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing to be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Amen. We read that passage and we don't even catch that praise and worship was a critical role in that whole thing happening. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding something? Somebody say, praise and worship can turn around my attitude. It can turn around my situation. It can heal my marriage. It can heal my body. It can fix all kinds of situations in my life. What? Praise and worship. You know, this on the counter doesn't help anything. Somebody's got to pick it up and use it. Praise and worship, this is wrong terminology theologically, but I'll say it because I want you to understand this picture. Praise and worship opens the doors of heaven. And what it really does, because the door's already open, it's just a word picture, but what it does is praise and worship invokes the power of God into situations and your atmosphere. Praise and worship invokes the power of God. You know what? As you start to praise and worship, as you start to testify in the goodness of God, as you start to testify how good God is, what happens is that situation, it invokes God and his power into that situation. And that's why you see this guy healed from his leprosy. We see it all over. Jericho, great, great example. And the seventh time it happened, Jericho chapter 6, verse 16. I just have it up here on the screens. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew their trumpets. See, what are they doing? They have the plan of God. What's the plan of God? The plan of God is whatever God has planned and spoken to you. And I say this because this is real important. Don't get, you know what? Please, the number one thing you have to follow is the Bible. That's God's plan. Amen. But when they have the plan of God, the power is that they would obey what God is asking them to do, that they would have confidence and say, I'm going to do what God says. So they walk around, you know the story, they walk around the city, you know, it's like, oh, day one, we walk around the city. Day two, we walk around the city. Day three, day four, day five, day six, but day seven, they walk around the city seven times, and then the priests blew the trumpet. Who knows what else happened? No, that's not what happened. They shouted. Somebody say they shouted. Somebody say they shouted. See, you see it in these stories. We see it, but we miss it. We don't see the critical component of praise and worship. And because we don't see it, we're not using it. They shouted. Pastor, what did they shout? Well, I can't tell you that they shouted because some people think that they shouted, some people think they shouted, the Lord has given us the city. Well, they could have shouted that, but it doesn't say they shouted that. It says they shouted for the Lord had given them the city. So I don't want to say more than it says because they could have just gone, I don't know. They could have said, the Lord has given us the city. They could have said, But here's what I do know. The shout is praise declaring the goodness of God to give them that city. Do you understand? All right, let me bring up a sad point. If the Dodgers hadn't... Ah! You say, Pastor, how come you have your Dodgers shirt on today? I thought you were an Angel fan. I am an Angel fan, but I also love the Dodgers. And I thought, you know what? I'll tell you what, the Dodgers need some help. Praise the Lord. I'm adding my support. Okay. And I do love the Dodgers. But what I'm saying, if the Dodgers, if you know what, if who pitched last night? Who was the closing pitcher? Jansen. Okay. If Jansen with two strikes out would have one more strike, you know what?
One more strike.
Was in the ninth. Two outs. You know what? Two strikes. We just needed one more strike. If he would have done one more strike, you might not have gone. You might have done this. You might have said, "The Dodgers are awesome." Or you might have just gone, "Wow!" Right? But that "Wow!" What were you saying? The Dodgers are awesome. Do you understand? In that shout, how do we know it? Because the Bible says they shouted, "For the Lord had given you the city." Listen to me very carefully. When they shouted, were the walls down? Come on, somebody. Come on. How many are here to learn something? When they shouted, were the walls down? They were not down. See, you were not called to accept situations in your life. You are called to change situations in your life. And you're going to do it through praise and worship. It is one of your main tools that you and I need to pick up and start using. You know what? We're too busy singing baby love. You know what I mean? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know, it was weird because I was studying this and I thought, oh, baby love. I used to sing that song all the time. I love that song. You know what I mean? And then I started singing it. Come on, somebody help me out. Baby love. My baby love, my baby love, oh, my baby love. Now, stop. Stop. Do you know what the next line is? Do you know what the next, how many knows what the next line is? Come on. I was listening to this morning because I thought, I ain't getting this wrong. Oh, where is it? Oh. But all you do is treat me bad. You break my heart and make me sad. What kind of song is that? See, I'm married to one of the most beautiful, smartest, godliest women on the face of this earth. You know what? And I'm singing baby love. Baby love, oh my baby love. But all you do is treat me mean. Break my heart and make me sad. Yuck. Listen, you bet you said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, you know what? There's two things that happen. You know what? We ain't giving in praise. And on the other side, we are singing the songs of the enemy. And be careful. Be careful, because you know what baby love turns into? You know what baby love turns into? Baby love turns into, you know what? Take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Am I not right? Say I won't be coming home. Gonna start a new life. What? 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 Yeah, but you know what? And here's what happens. You sing that baby love, sing that baby love. All she does is treat me bad. And next thing you know, she walks in. You know what? She forgot your chili cheese dog. And you're like, you know what? I noticed you took care of the dogs today. You had dinner for them. All you do is treat me bad. You break my heart and make me sad. See? What could have you could have been singing 100 better songs than that? You know what? I thank you. I think I will. Praise him. I just want to lift my voice and sing. He's worthy. Is he worthy?
Yes.
Is he worthy when she forgot your, you know what, your taco? Is God still worthy?
Yes.
He's worthy. So I'll praise his holy name. He is amazing. And all that he's done for me, his word's everlasting. He'll never lie to me. Amen. See, you are controlling. Listen, church, we would be good to get a revelation that we have way more control in our life than we think we do. And one of the main issues in controlling your life is to stop. Let's go back to the arguments. Remember I told you? These vain arguments that exalt itself against the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, you think Satan isn't cleverly? Who wrote Baby Love? Diana Ross. You're like, well, Diana, why are you getting mad at Diana Ross? Listen, I ain't getting mad at Diana Ross. You know what I mean? But the reality is, most people who are, listen, save your letters for some other time, okay? I'm just saying, most people that are writing this stuff, you know what? For all you know, Diana Ross is the most beautiful Christian now. She loves Jesus. You know what? But she was going out with an idiot, right? A ding dong, when she wrote that song. But we take that and we take that and it becomes ours. It becomes our confession. It becomes what comes out of our mouth. And what should be coming out of our mouth are different songs. You know what? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Redeemed, how this old school. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim him. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed for his infinite mercy. See, what should be our life? You know the next line? Oh, shout it wherever I am. See, we ought to be shouting the redemption of God in our lives. We ought to be praising God. You know what? When she forgets our taco or she doesn't forget our taco. Amen? When he empties the trash or he doesn't empty the trash. You know what? Because as we allow all this stuff to infect our lives, and it's not just in what our song is, it's what it's who we are. You know what? Our life, let me say it like this. Praise needs to be not something that we do, but someone who we are. Do you understand? The Bible says it like this. His praise should be David says, his praise will be constantly in my mouth. See, how do we have success? You know, the Bible tells us how to have success. Meditate on the word day and night and observe to do it meditate on the word day and night that you would observe to do all that's written. For then you will, you know what, make your way prosperous, the Bible says. See, his praise should be constantly on our lips. Just constantly. You know what? When David gets bummed out, what does he say? Why so downcast? Here's why. Because I've forgotten to put my trust in God. I've gotten my eyes on situations. Oh, there they are. Thank you. And I would particularly encourage you, almost any worship song is really good, but particularly there's a whole group of songs that are the Word of God. You are my, give me a second. You are my hiding place. You always, give me a sec. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Do you understand? What are you doing? You're changing the whole atmosphere, and you're using the word of God that's so, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it changes everything. And the main thing it changes is you. And then you can start being the influencer and start to speak the word in situations in your life. Have you heard on what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your grace is all I see. What are you doing? You're right in the midst of your changing the tire. You got a flat tire. Anybody got a flat tire? Ticks you off. Right in the middle, you recognize God is able to turn it around and go, you know what? You have no idea what I saved you from. Are you understanding what I'm saying?